fuel stuff, but I'll tell you, it don't take much to get the born-again believers to believe, oh, this is it, Great Tribulation. That thing gets to $5 a gallon, we know that the Antichrist is about ready to turn. You know, Lord's coming back because my diesel fuel's $5.19. You know, I just, Lord's coming back because the Bible says so. And He's coming back when He's ready. And gas might be $3 a gallon, might be $100 a gallon, but He's coming back. I don't know when. Hopefully soon. But the thing is, we need to keep on keeping on now. And, you know, we've got an opportunity to serve Him and praise God for those opportunities He gives us each and every day, but an opportunity to give our life to Him. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Somebody set that clock right this morning. I was going to tell you all you're getting out early, but same old time. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to look at about 8 things we need today to be in God's will, to live God's will, and to stay in God's will, to end in God's will. And by the grace of God, we'll get through 8 things today before 2 or 3 o'clock anyway. Amen. But let's go ahead and pray again before we let the Word of God deal with our heart. Father, we love You and thank You for Jesus Christ. And Lord, as has already been said, we want to thank You and praise You for bringing folks back. Brother Steve and Brother Jim and Sister Shirley and Brother Mac and Brother Jerry and all the folks here. Lord, the folks that You brought healing to and brought back to us, we just thank You and praise You for keeping us safe. And Lord, that we can lean on You, leaning on the everlasting arms. We thank You for that, Lord. And we thank You that we sing that song, I Am So Wondrously Saved From Sin. It's personal. You saved me personally. You saved the folks in here that are saved. You saved them personally. And You walk with us, talk with us, and help us personally. Lord, help us today. Meet with us as a church. And give us what we need to get closer to You and become more like You. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Word of God says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. 8 things that we need to make it in these last days. In verse number 2, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. We need preaching. We need preaching. And it says we need to be reproved, rebuked, exhorted with all long-suffering and doctrine. It's talking about preaching the whole counsel of God. I'm not talking about this mealy-mouthed, honeycomb-drip sermon about, you know, how good we are and how good you are and how happy you should be that you're such a good person. I'm talking about the truth. ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm talking about preaching at gun barrel straight, where you say, hey, look, you're wicked as the devil sometimes, and sometimes you just need to hit your face and get right with God. Sometimes you're not doing a bunch of outward things that are wrong, but sometimes you're just refusing to do the things that are right. Sometimes you're not praying right. Sometimes you're not reading your Bible right. Sometimes you're not walking right, talking right, acting right, reacting right, being right. Sometimes you quit. You're still going through the motions, but on the inside, you done quit. And I'm talking about preaching that will stir you up and convict you to want to get right with God, because one day we're going to stand before the Lord. It talks about Him judging the quick and the dead. The quick, that's those that are alive. And those that are dead in their trespasses and sins. Amen. We're all going to be judged. Some of us, if you're saved, judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, the great white throne judgment. And you don't want to go to that second one, because that second one leads to an eternal fire. The first one is by trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, for He is eternal life, calling on the name of Jesus Christ. But one thing we need is preaching. And I'm not saying just from the pulpit to the pews. I need preaching too. I listen to preaching every now and again. My wife sometimes makes me listen to the stuff on the internet that I put. I'm like, good night, woman. You want me to quit? Don't do that. It makes me appreciate you all being long-suffering, amen. But we need preaching. In 3 and 4 it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We need understanding. We need to understand where we are in biblical time. You say, well, back in Bible times. We are in Bible times right now. But what part of Bible times are we in? We're not in the Old Testament under the law with Moses. We're not in the New Testament in the tribulation. We are in the New Testament right before that time of great tribulation, in the Laodicean church period, where people don't want the truth. They want to be happy. They want to be satisfied with who they are. They want to be worldly and carnal, and they want to be just joyful about their carnality. And they want a preacher to tell them they're doing good when they're doing it. That's where we are. You have to realize that, because one, you need to check your Bible out so you can check me out to make sure that I'm telling you the truth. And two, you need to walk with Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to do it is by checking the Bible out on your own on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Wednesday and Sunday, by the way. But we need preaching, and we need to understand where we are in time. In verse number 5, he lays this out. Now, remember who Paul is talking to. Paul is talking to Timothy. Timothy, he calls his son, because he led him to the Lord. He was taking him under his arm, and he was trying to get him to grow in the knowledge and grace of Christ. He was trying to get him to be a soldier for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's what every preacher wants their church to be. He wants the church to have a bunch of soldiers for the cause of Jesus Christ. It'll keep on marching no matter what the opposition, no matter how bad things get, no matter how tough times are, no matter whether they like it or dislike it at the time. They're just going to do right for Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. He say, look, I'm going to tell you to beware of some things. And you need some things. You need to preach straight, he told Timothy. You need to understand some things. And in verse number 5 he says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know what we're going to need? We're going to need preaching. We're going to need understanding. And oh man, if we ever needed it today, we need it. We're going to need endurance. 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 To endure opposition. To endure loneliness. Hey, if you're doing the right thing, it gets lonely. Why is it so hard to stay on the right track sometimes? Why does it seem like some people, they'll hit the altar, they'll hit their knees, they'll cry out to God, they'll want to get right, and they walk out the door, and then the next thing you know, they're doing the same stupid stuff over and over and over and over. It's loneliness. You know where they find comfort? With the wrong crowd. You know, they don't hang out with the right crowd long enough to figure out they should be there sometimes. And if they do, they still, they keep one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and the church one's got the banana peel under it, right? They already slip right out of that thing, and they go right back in to the filth, hanging out with the people that are doing the same wicked stuff, and they end up drawn back into it, because you got to endure some loneliness once in a while. You know what? Loneliness is not a bad thing all the time. Loneliness makes you turn to Jesus Christ. Amen. But we need to learn to endure some things. See, you're going to need endurance in these last days to make it. You say, well, I just want to be this big, strong, powerful Christian that does all these mighty works. That's not what endurance is about. If you've ever done any strength training or learned anything about strength training, endurance generally, now this is not 100% accurate, but it's generally an accurate saying that if you use a lot of heavyweights, you're going to get more bulk. And if you use a lot of lightweights and repetition, you're going to get more endurance. And usually they mix those things up, unless they're just going for bodybuilding. But they'll mix those things up, and a lot of people just go for endurance so they can keep doing what they're doing for a longer period of time. You don't need the big weight. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be Charles Spurgeon. You don't have to be D.L. Moody. You just have to be faithful. Amen? And have some endurance. How do you get endurance? By doing the little things right all the time. Amen? It's not just living like the devil and once in a while getting right and doing some great big thing for God. That's not endurance. You build endurance by doing little things right. Over and over and over. That also matches up well with resistance. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. You know why most people have problems with the devil? They resist the wrong one. They resist the Holy Spirit and they go with the devil. They got a resistor problem. If you're into electronics, you understand what resistors are. They got a resistor problem, amen. They don't know how to resist. But if you'll resist some of the little things, you won't get drawn into the big things. You know what he talks about in 1 Corinthians 10:13, where he says there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man? He talks about giving you a way out. He gives you a way out. Because you start one step down that road, and you know you've been down that road before many times, and you know what ends up at the other end of that road. You know where you're going to end up. But you say, well, I'll just take a little step, and then maybe I can get back, and maybe I'll take two steps now because the first step didn't kill me. It didn't hurt me too bad. Maybe I'll just take three or four steps. And the next thing, you're all the way down to the end of that road away from God looking back at what you could have been or what you should be. But endurance and resistance, you need to learn how to endure some temptation, endure some loneliness, endure some opposition, and resist that temptation to take the first step out into the world, that first step out into sin. So, preacher, I just fell into sin. Oh, good night, man. Who are you lying to? I mean, you're talking to a sinner saved by grace. You don't fall into sin. You make decisions. You make a little decision here, a little decision there, a little decision here, and the next thing you're in sin, whining about it because you look back and think, that's where I was. How'd I get here? And you forget about all the intermediate steps. The first step you took should have been where you used your endurance to endure that temptation, to resist that temptation. Well, I just thought I'd go down there and sit at the bar with my friends and drink a Coke. And then after a while, you know, I thought, well, you know, I'll drink sparkling water because then nobody will know that they're drinking vodka and I'm drinking Coke. And then next thing you know, well, the sparkling water, now I could drink vodka and nobody would know because I've been drinking sparkling water. That's how it works. You laugh, but that's how it works. That's what gets people in trouble. It's not down the road. It's the first step. And if you take the first step, you ought to realize it's the wrong step and take a step back. But if you have some endurance, you can endure that temptation. If you have some resistance, you can resist that temptation and you can be right with God. That's more important than making friends. That's more important than not being lonely. That's more important than maybe getting the flesh what it wants. The most important thing for your life as a born-again believer is being right with God. Say, well, the most important thing is prayer. The most important thing is Bible study. Those two are very important. But if you pray and read your Bible and you ask God, He will help you be right. I know people that pray and read their Bible that aren't right. You know why? Because their heart's not right. Because they've taken steps away from truth. Preaching, understanding, endurance. Verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You need preaching, you need understanding, you need endurance, and you need to be ready. Did you hear what Paul said? For I am now ready to be offered up. Are you ready? If Jesus Christ come back right now, are you ready? Could you look back over the last 24 hours and say, I got nothing wrong in my life. Anything that went wrong, I got under the blood, I'm clean. If He calls me out of here right now, I'm good. Because if not, you're not ready. I'm not talking about whether you're lost or saved. I'm talking about whether your sins are all under the blood as far as the judgment seat of Christ goes. If you got right with God and He called you out, would you be found embarrassed for what you've been doing the last 48 hours or 24 hours? Or would you say, hey, Lord, I've been reading about You. I was reading about You this morning. Remember when I was talking to You this morning? Are you ready? We need to be ready. In 9 through 11, this is an interesting group of verses here for many different reasons. It says, "Do thy diligence come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus into Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Need fellowship. Need fellowship. You know, we focus on Demas. Demas hath forsaken me. But I do want to for just a second, because if you notice the wording here, it says Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and went to Thessalonica. You know what Thessalonica was? Thessalonica was the Las Vegas, man. That was where everything was happening. That's where all the flesh-satisfying stuff was at. And see, it didn't say that he got messed up on Bible doctrine. It didn't say that he got messed up on rightly dividing. It didn't say he got messed up, Demas, that he got messed up in some horrible, horrific sin and just quit. It says that he loved the world so much, he just stepped into the world. He went to Thessalonica and started satisfying the flesh, or trying to satisfy the flesh. So instead of being in church on Sunday, he would have been down there at the boat ramp, or he'd have been up at the ball game, or, you know, Wednesday night rolls around and he's got something else to do, because Thessalonica's got, man, you can play the pull tabs down there, you can do the lotto down there, you can do the wheel, whatever that stuff is, you can go down there and see the dancing girls, you can go down there and do all the worldly stuff. And that's where he went to the world. I don't know, I couldn't give you a number, but hundreds of Christians over my lifetime I've seen go to the world. There are hundreds of Christians that spend their entire life at Thessalonica. They do. I say Christians, but saved people. Christians live like Christ. If Christ is in Thessalonica, it's because he's there witnessing through a saved person. He's not out there playing the games that the world plays and doing the thing. That's what Demas was. He went to the world. But you notice what Paul said? You see, we act and think sometimes like Paul is some kind of a supernatural being. Paul is a man. Paul's a man. He said, "Demas has forsaken me." You know what Paul felt? Hurt. And I believe lonely. How do I come to that conclusion? Because of what he said. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me." He didn't say Demas has forsaken God, which he did if he went to the world, but he said he forsook me. I had a friend that was walking with me, that was preaching with me, that was loving the Lord with me, that was right by my side doing what I do with the Lord in our corner. And we were inseparable, and all of a sudden he's gone. A brother in Christ, he says, he's walked with me, talked with me, ate with me. We shared the same rock side by side as we slept on the ground, headed to another town to witness about Jesus Christ many a night, and now he forsook me. You know why he felt forsaken? Because there's comfort in having other people go in the same direction as a saved person. And Paul said he forsook me. He left me all alone. How do I know he felt lonely? Look what he says in verse 11. "Only Luke is with me." Only Luke is with me. He was hurt by Demas. Amen. It's tragic when a Christian gets out of the will of God. But it doesn't just hurt their walk, it hurts other people. We need fellowship. You need preaching, you need understanding, you need endurance, you need to be ready. You need fellowship. Look at verse 13. "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments." You know what those parchments are? Scripture. You know, he said, especially the parchments. You need God's Word. You need God's Word. Paul said, it's one thing preaching, it's one thing teaching, it's one thing hearing it, but I want those parchments. He said, bring the cloak, that's his coat. Because what he was doing was, he was realizing, just like you and I automatically realize that you need a coat on when it gets to be 20 degrees outside to protect you from the external environment, right? We automatically do that. We just automatically go, well, when young people don't. Young people are goofy. They run around in shorts and all kinds of stuff, ice dripping off of them. But when you get older and more mature, you realize when you walk out that door and it's 25 and the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour and it's raining, you need a coat to protect you from the elements. because you got enough sense to know you need protection from the elements when you're mature. You know what a mature Christian knows, like Paul knew? He needed those parchments to protect him from the spiritual elements. It's the Word of God. Say, oh man, we'll cover this flesh up quick when it gets cold. Well, what about when your spiritual walk starts getting cold? Then you need the Word. I'm glad we don't have parchments now and rolls of scrolls to carry around. We have a wagon behind us with 13 scriptures in it, you know, or 14. But we got a Bible. You need the Word of God to protect you from the elements. We talked about those people earlier that, you know, they're partially in, and they're out. They don't read their Bible. If they're reading their Bible and doing what God called them to do, they probably wouldn't be out. If they're reading it and praying with the right heart, they wouldn't be out. We need God's Word to protect us from the environment, the spiritual environment. In verses 14 and 15 it says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. We need discernment. Discernment. Not just understanding, but spiritual discernment. He knew who his enemy was. He knew Alexander the coppersmith was his enemy. But listen to what he says, though, at the end of that verse, in verse 14. The Lord reward him according to his works. He wasn't wanting to tangle and waste time with Alexander. He said, the Lord take care of Alexander. I'm not going to get caught up in that thing. But I'm going to give you a warning, Timothy. And look where the discernment really comes in 15. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. You see, Paul understood that it wasn't personal. It wasn't personal. When you go out on the street and you're handing out tracts and people laugh and they mock and they ridicule you, ridicule God, it's not personal. They're just like Alexander the coppersmith. You know what he did? He withstood the words. The opposition's not really between you and them. It's between them and the truth. And Paul said he's greatly withstood our words. You know what words they were doing? They were preaching the Word of God to them. He didn't like it. Paul said, I don't take it personally. He withstood our words. It wasn't anything personal. It's sad, but it's not personal. We get in trouble when we start taking everything personal. Amen? You ever do that? Hand a track out, somebody goes, you believe that junk? And you start like, man, they don't like me. It's about me. I don't know. Not about you. It's about heaven or hell and a battle that's going on over their soul. And it's about them accepting or rejecting God's words. And that's the discernment we have to have as Bible believers. That's the discernment we have to have as witnesses. Understand that you're going to get opposition, but the opposition is not directed at you. It's directed at the Word of God. We're just the vessel carrying it to them. It's not personal. It's not personal. Hey, you know something? I mean, I'm not taking lightly or making light of what the folks went through in the days of the martyrs when it was serious. I mean, there's still serious martyrs in this world, but I'm talking about when it was heavy martyrdom, when they were burning people at the stake and boiling them in oil and all the stuff that they were doing. It was an opposition to the Word. They were trying to get them to renounce Jesus Christ and renounce truth. They were trying to get them to say, okay, the church is right, the Bible's wrong. That's what they were doing. Your man will be my God instead of the God, Jesus Christ. That's what they wanted them to do. The opposition was against the Word. And sometimes we pay a price for standing for the Word. But it's not personal. It's not personal. You know how I know it's not personal? Because if you weren't preaching the Word, the devil wouldn't even have your name. It's not personal. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. He said he greatly withstood our words. Sad. Look at verse 16 and 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. How about that? Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. We need preaching. We need understanding. We need endurance. We need to be ready. We need fellowship. We need God's words. And God's Word. We need discernment. And we need what verse 17 says. Strength from God. Strength from God. Praying and reading the Bible as a ritual is not enough. We need to be asking God for strength, for guidance, direction, for protection, for wisdom. For wisdom. Understanding is one thing. Understanding will give you a place to put your feet. But wisdom will keep you standing. We need strength. We need strength. He says again, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. He asked for strength to do what we talked about in Sunday school. What we talked about in Sunday school. To be fruitful. And multiply. That's what he wants from his people. To be fruitful and multiply. And we need strength. Demas, he said, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of being ridiculed. I'm tired of being mocked. I'm tired of being laughed at. I'm tired of me being the only one walking down the street with the truth and groups of people going against me. I'm tired of going one way all alone sometimes. I'm tired of feeling weak and beat down. And he quit. Should he get into some horrible, horrible, wicked sin that man would think was horrible? Probably not. He just went and started doing what the world does. But you know what he didn't have? Probably had preaching. I mean, he was hanging around Paul. Probably had some understanding. He had some fellowship. He was with Paul. They had God's word. It was preaching. I don't know what he had discernment-wise. I mean, he was with Paul. You'd assume he had some pretty good discernment. But he definitely didn't have an endurance. And he definitely didn't have strength from God, or he wouldn't have quit. Hey, if you go out here and you quit, it's not because of God. Hey, he has given you access to everything you need and then some by this book and his Holy Spirit and fellowship with other believers. That's why it's so good. One of the reasons it's so good to have folks back. When somebody's missing, there's something missing. When somebody that's going the same direction is not in the same building at the same time, there's something missing. Amen? And oftentimes we feel like Paul. Lonely. It's good to have people come back. It's good to have people to call. It's good to have people to text. I'd rather do the call, but text seems to be really handy. Good to have people to say, hey, we love you, we're praying for you. And it's good to have people to try to be a blessing too. Paul probably missed that as much as he missed Demas being with him. Because he was wanting to be a blessing to Demas, and then Demas takes off and Paul's like, there's a failure right there on my part. Probably blamed himself. Probably had a list of things he could have done differently. But you're going to have these eight things and then some. The then some comes with verse 8. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You're never alone if you're saved. Not only will he give you strength, he will stand right there with you. So that'd be nine things, amen? Nine is a number of fruitfulness. So if Jesus Christ is standing with you, you've got it. Preaching, understanding, endurance, you need to be ready. Fellowship, God's words, discernment, strength from God, and to be standing and walking with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, when Demas went to Thessalonica, Jesus Christ did not walk with him to Thessalonica. He did not lead him to Thessalonica. He decided that he was going to leave that part of the ministry, and he was going to go fool around the world, and the Lord's still standing right there on the right road waiting for him to come back. The prodigal son thing. Praise God that he'll take somebody out of the hog pen and put them back in the right place. Same God that'll take somebody that's never been anywhere but the hog pen, save their soul, and put them in the right place. But I'm going to tell you, praise God for the people that never have to go to the hog pen. Hey, these kids that don't have to go through that garbage, it's a great testimony for God to bring somebody out of the wickedness and whoredoms of this world and to put them on the rock and put them on the right path. That's a great testimony. What a better testimony. See, these little kids that are saved, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, that spend their whole life in church, that spend their whole life reading their Bible, that spend their whole life praying. And when they get to be about 12, 15, 16 years old, they've heard some preaching, they have some understanding, they're building up some endurance, they're ready. Hey, they're more ready than a lot of grown-ups that have been in church their whole life sometimes. And they have fellowship with people that love the Lord, and they've got, that's their life. It's normal. That should be normal. And they have God's Word. I like the little kids, you know, that little honorary kid that was here a couple years ago for Connor. He was here a couple years ago for Bible school, or vacation Bible school, and we give him a Bible. That kid was climbing, he was on the lamps, he was down here, he was on the seats, he was everywhere, but he was here. You know what he said when he left? Bible, where's my Bible? I want my Bible. He would not leave without his Bible. Praise God. I hope they read it. I hope they all read it. I hope they all got saved. I hope Connor's still reading. I hope he's in a good church somewhere. I hope they're doing right by the Lord. But he wanted that book. Praise God for kids that want the Word of God when there are grown-ups out there bumping around like a bunch of idiots running in over themselves, and they don't know what they're missing. And the kids will start to have some discernment, and the little kids put their faith in Christ easier than you and I. They'll have strength. You ever heard a little kid say, it'll be all right? Amen. As a parent, you ever been discouraged and your kid encouraged you? It'll be all right. We'll pray about it, Dad. We'll pray about it, Mom. Praise God. You don't have to have a filthy past to be a good testimony. You got kids here that could be clean all their life. They could fight that battle with very little interference from their own past. Some of us have to chop the head off that past on a regular basis because it keeps sticking its ugly self up looking at us. Amen. And praise God, He'll give you the strength to get past that and stay past that. But boy, for those kids that can be saved early and stay clean, praise God. But if we're going to make it, we're going to have some preaching, some understanding, some endurance, be ready, fellowship, God's Word, discernment, strength from God, to stand every day with Jesus Christ. Sometimes the best standing you can do is on your knees. But stand with Him and stand for Him. Father, we love You and thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the strength and fellowship that You give us. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving us fellowship with one another. Thank You again for bringing folks back that have been struggling physically. I ask that You would touch them in a mighty way and help and heal them and strengthen them. Bless them. Bless this church. Have continued mercy on us, Lord, and use us for Your honor and Your glory. For Your name's sake, bless Gateway Baptist Church and all the folks here. And Lord, bless those little kids. Lord, help them. Breathe on them, Lord. Give them Your Spirit. If they're saved, Lord, give them guidance, direction, protection. Help them. Give them that faith to give back to You. And if any of the kids are lost, Lord, that You'd make the day, that day, that they hear the message, they'd get saved before it's too late, saved before they're too wrong, far down the wrong road. And Lord, give them the strength and the guidance to go right the rest of their life, to glorify You. Help us all to be that way, Lord, to spend the rest of our life trying to glorify You in Your strength, Your power, standing with You. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.